I thought there would be, well, my own? Okay. I thought there would be surprises this morning, and I was not surprised that there was surprises. I knew that with getting used to singing to these different choruses would be a little bit of a challenge, but we'll persevere. Also, when I got up here to load the PowerPoints for this morning, neither one of them came up. And so I thought, boy, this is going to be another challenge. I don't know what happens in the computer realm, but when you're sitting at home and everything is going fine and you put it on a what we call a power stick or a little thing to convert it to this computer, it likes to play tricks on you. And that's not so bad when you're at home by yourself, but when you have over 100 people staring at you waiting for you to go, it becomes a little bit of a challenge. So, with all that said, I think it'd be a good time for us to have a few moments of silent prayer to clear the decks of any unconfessed sins to make sure that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize that You are a God of justice and righteousness, and You will never compromise Your perfect essence. As we study Your message in the stars, we're going to be studying Libra today, the scales which speak of that justice and righteousness that You require. We recognize that there's no way on our own that we could ever meet Your perfect standard. And we're so thankful that it is because the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid our price that we paid on the cross, that we can have a relationship with You, and that we have that phenomenal grace in order to have that relationship. We pray that You will help us to focus and concentrate, and that Your Word will penetrate our souls this morning, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. First thing that we first set of constellations that we went over was those of Virgo. If you'll remember, the constellations that fall on the ecliptic, that imaginary circle around the earth that all of the constellations fall on, those of the zodiac, and the zodiac is speaking of the 12 main constellations that fall on the zodiac, which tell the story. Each one has three associate constellations that help tell the story as well. And so here we have Virgo, the Virgin, and then we have Coma, and Coma is the woman and her son. I'm trying to find my pointer. I think I need... Here it is. You would think that that's big enough to find on this size. It hides. Virgo is holding a seed, a stalk that has seeds, and a branch, which are titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the seed of the woman. He is also the branch. We went over that. And Coma is now the woman, the virgin becomes a woman holding the child, and that is the desired one. Down here you have Centaurus, which is the dual-natured creature that is despised. And then up here you have Boötes, which is the shepherd who comes. Now this is what we've already looked at. This was the first ones we dealt with. Here is Boötes. We've already gone over that. So here we have the virgin with the seed and branch, Coma, the woman with her desired son, Centaurus, the despised dual-natured centaur. A centaur is a creature that has a fictional creature that is half horse and half man. And then Boötes is the coming shepherd. And what I'm doing right now is just reviewing. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and would be the desired seed and branch promised by God and the prophets. The God-man Messiah of the Jews who would despise Him when He came, even though He was their shepherd. That's a synopsis of what we learned in the first constellation, which is Virgo. Then we went to Libra, the scales. Here is Libra right here. This is Scorpio. That's where we're going next. I don't know if we'll get there today, but we've already seen this. This is another shot of Libra. Here's another shot of Libra here. The scales. And here are the... You can kill this one too, George. Here are the constellations that form the Libra section of the zodiac. Libra is the main constellation because you see here it's on the ecliptic. And it has to do with judgment. It has to do with balancing the scales. We also have Crux here, the cross. We have Lupus, which is the slain victim here. And we also have Corona. So in this section of the sky where Libra is found, these three constellations will augment and supply more information about what Libra is about. Now over here actually is where the constellation Crux is located. We just stuck it down here so it would be in this section, but it really isn't located there. It's located over here, and Centaurus, the dual-natured creature, is right above it, and Crux is over here. So I just thought I would fill you in on that so nobody would get confused. You already saw this. I believe I showed you this already, that the scales are found all over and with reference to justice. That's what they essentially represent. And they're seen on statues. They're seen here. Most of the time it's a woman and she is blindfolded with the scales. And it's showing that there's no prejudice. The scales of justice need to be true. And if the woman can't see the scales, then she can't, what's on the scales, she can't be biased. And the sword that you see here, each time that you see the sword, is the sword of justice to carry out punishment for those who deserve it. Here it is on top of a building. Here she is again with the scales. Now, we've gone up to this point, and we're looking at this star here, because the star names have a lot to do with what the message is in the stars. This does, the constellation figure looks like a scales to some degree. Some of them don't, but this one does. But it's the stars that have a lot to do with the meaning that is being portrayed. Now, Zubin al-Gunabi, which is this star right here, that word or that name means the price which is deficient. And we went over this last time. Remember, we went over the handwriting on the wall. Many, many tekel upharsin. You remember that? I'm not speaking in tongues. The Bible actually quotes those words. And it means you were weighed and found wanting in the balance. And remember, the king, Belshazzar, was going to be no more because he was arrogant. He had a big, I guess, what would you call it? A big blowout. And he had a lot of people drunk. And he got the instruments are the plates and the goblets and so forth that was in the temple were made out of gold. And that was sacrilege, and he paid the price for it. So that's what that star actually is conferring. The next one we have is this star up here in the... This is called the balances here. Zubin al-Kamali. And it means the price which covers. There's only one who could ever be qualified to pay the price of redemption for us, and that's none other than Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going to focus on for a moment, is that just anyone could not come along and pay the price which covers, the price that would propitiate God. That's the theological term that means satisfy. So it was only Jesus Christ who could satisfy the justice and righteousness that God demanded for our sins. When I see the scales, I think about one being justice and one being righteous. It just helps me think of what it stands for. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved." It all rides on Jesus Christ. In John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." That's probably one of the most divisive verses in the entire Bible. Because people hate, not everyone, but most people hate Christians because they say they're arrogant. They think that they're the only ones that have the right answer. Well, if it's true, it's true, right? And we can back it up with the Scripture. We don't try to be arrogant. All we are interested in is the truth, and that is indeed truth, that Jesus Christ is the way to the Father. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 19, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." Now, the blood of Christ is a representative analogy referring to the spiritual death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And only He was sinless. Only He, in fact, He was the only one ever born minus a sin nature. And what did that require? Well, it required what we saw in Virgo, the virgin birth. And so that's what this star is speaking of, is that Jesus Christ is the unique one that had to pay or chose to pay the price. Jesus asked if there was any other way to complete His mission of redeeming mankind. This was in the Garden of Gethsemane. But of course there was not. This is Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Jesus Christ was not looking forward to going to the cross. He knew full well the horrors that it would be. Only the sacrifice of a perfect, impeccable sacrifice could propitiate the justice and righteousness of God. Back in Exodus, I think it's in chapter 12, it gives the Jews the instructions of how to go about preparing a sacrifice for the Passover. This is when the Jews were still in Egypt and they were in slavery. And the instructions go on for quite a while because they are precise. The reason they had to be precise is because that lamb was depicting our Lord Jesus Christ. So the lamb, they had to take a lamb from the flock, a perfect specimen as far as they could tell, and then they would have to wait a number of days. I think it was maybe up to 10 days that they would look at that lamb to make sure that there was nothing, no imperfections, didn't have a cough, didn't have anything wrong with it. And then it would be qualified to be the sacrifice. And when they killed the lamb, they had to go through a certain procedure there. They couldn't just take a club and knock it over the head. They couldn't get their .22 out and shoot it between the eyes. They had to cut the carotid artery so the blood would flow out. And then they would take that blood and they would put it on the side of the door and the lintel overhead. And if they did that, then the death angel would pass over. Very specific things. All had to speak of Jesus Christ. And there could not be a broken bone in of the lamb, because if there was, it would disqualify. And that's significant because when Jesus Christ was on the cross and the Roman soldiers came by and they had a big mallet and they would hit the shins and knee area of the thieves. And when they did that, they would break the bones so that they could no longer push up with their feet to get air into their lungs. And in just a moment, they would die. Well, they didn't do that to Jesus Christ because He already died. And then, of course, they put a spear through His side to demonstrate, make sure that He was dead. But that was fulfilling prophecy. If those soldiers would have hit the the legs of Jesus Christ and broken a bone, then that would have gone against prophecy, and then we would have big time trouble because the Bible would be contradicting itself, which it doesn't do. The next star is Zubin al-Akrabi, A-K-R-A-B-I. By the way, Zubin al-Kamali, the star we went up did first, is Z-U-B-I-N, then the word A-L, and then Kamali, C-H-E-M-A-L-I. Now, this one we have now, Zubin al-Akrabi, means the price of the conflict. And what I really zero in on this is the conflict, the term conflict. When Lucifer chose to betray God and form a conspiracy against Him, it started a conflict of the ages that rages on today. What do we call that? The angelic conflict, right? When Adam chose to disobey God and eat of the forbidden fruit, we were drawn into it, and we call it the angelic conflict, and the stakes couldn't be higher. However, is there suffering involved in this conflict? Yes. Is there suffering for you involved in this conflict? Absolutely. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 through 30. For to you it has been granted. Listen to the terms here. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Now, some people would say, that's granted to me? That's given to me? I'm supposed to be happy about this? Well, that's human thinking. That's human viewpoint. It is an honor to suffer for Jesus Christ. You see, we're all going to suffer in this life. You know that. But suffering for Jesus Christ not only is an honor, but it also brings great rewards and decorations with it as well. So again, Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, experiencing the same conflict. That's the same word as this, the meaning of this star. The same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. This is Paul who is writing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I, which here means includes us, we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. It's Jesus Christ that enables us to get through the suffering that's involved in the angelic conflict. Furthermore, we have this encouragement. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now, that would be a verse worth remembering. If you have something to write it down on, write it down, even if it's the bulletin or something, because that is a key verse in the angelic conflict playing out in your own life, because there is going to be suffering. I'll read it again. Very important verse. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And some say, in us. None of us have suffered like Paul. Paul was beaten on at least four occasions. He was shipwrecked. People hated him. They drove him out of towns. One time he had to be let down in a basket over the wall so the people wouldn't kill him. And you can imagine when Paul went into a synagogue, and these people have been steeped in Judaism for about 1,500 years, and Paul waltzes into the synagogue and he says, I want to tell y'all something. It's all changed. The Messiah has come. And we don't have to observe the holy days. And we're no longer under the Mosaic law. Now we're under a dispensation of grace. How do you think they took that? Do you think they said, we're so glad you told us. Now we know how to act. So they acted all right. The act was to try to annihilate him. But he was true to his purpose. There should be no fear or dread about the ongoing conflict because God is on our side and we already know that we're on the winning side. If you doubt that, just go to the back of the book. Read Revelation. The victory is already ours because Jesus Christ has already won the tactical victory, the strategical victory of the angelic conflict. Lieber points to the first deacon. The deacon, by the way, is the term used for those auxiliary constellations. Lieber points to the deacon that accompanies it, the place where God's love and justice meets. And where is that? We're talking about the cross. Do you see it? Have you ever seen it? Oh, this is a sharp crown. No, we can't see it from the northern hemisphere because it's in the southern hemisphere and it's really known as the southern cross from most people. The word cross there comes from the Latin crux, which means cross. It's formed by four bright stars in the shape of a cross and is better known as the southern cross. It's one of the most well-known constellations in the sky and is found on the flags of Australia and New Guinea. Here is what it looks like if you connect the dots. Isn't it nice when the dots are connected? You know, that's one reason why we're here. Probably the main reason is that we can connect the spiritual dots. Because to most people, when you give them divine viewpoint, and you're giving them biblical information. We live in a society that is so biblically illiterate that all they see are a bunch of dots. It means nothing to them. It's our job to help connect the dots so that they can get the message. Where do we start? We start with these dots right here. The cross. About these flags. Here's the flag of Australia. See the Southern Cross here, and New Guinea. Here's the stars here. There's another star here that is, let's go up here where we saw this star right here. Now they're showing that star in their flags, showing the cross. I don't think I would have included it, but they didn't ask me for my opinion when they made the flag. I think it's a minor star. Why put it in here? Here it looks nearly as big as a... Anyway. That is the Southern Cross. That is very famous. The Hebrew name for this constellation is Adom. A-D-O-M. Which means cutting off. Cutting off was a euphemism used in the Old Testament for being executed. You ought to be glad you didn't live in the Old Testament, especially teenagers, because you could just about anything you did, you could be cut off. And that doesn't mean to be cut off from your friends. It doesn't mean to be alienated and scorned. Cut off means to be executed. The reason I said that about teenagers is because if a teenager struck his parent, either one of his parents, what would happen? You will be cut off, executed. If a teenager cursed his parents, guess what would happen? Cut off. If we were lived by the Mosaic law today and we were applying it diligently, our population would crash. There would be nothing but a bunch of old folks left. That's what cut off means. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Then after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. Now Daniel chapter 9, especially in this section here around verse 26, is amazing. It is so accurate and so precise that people say, well, this was written after the fact. See, this is saying after 62 weeks, Messiah, which is Jesus Christ, will be cut off, will be executed. And not only is it giving us that information, it's telling us the time period that it would be done, because it would be between the time that Jesus would have His triumphant entry into Jerusalem, because that's the verses that precede that, and the temple in Jerusalem being destroyed in 70 AD. So do you see that time slot? That was what Daniel is saying. First of all, he says Messiah is going to enter Jerusalem, the triumphal entry that is known these days as Palm Sunday. And then it said He is going to be executed. That was just a few days after His triumphal entry. And all this had to happen before Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed by the Roman legions and Titus in 70 AD. And this was unbelievable that it's that precise. And yet, that's what that verse is telling us. Now, this is a little bit hard to understand. I thought about maybe not including this paragraph, but I thought it was an interesting quote. So you have to pay attention. I'll explain a little bit afterwards, but I think it was worth including. This came from Kenneth C. Fleming, God's Message in the Stars, page 48. This is what Mr. Fleming says. Quote, Amerigo Vespucci, on his voyage on the Atlantic Ocean to the end of the 15th century, said, the Southern Cross, and he saw the Southern Cross and congratulated himself on having rediscovered what had been lost for so long. He associated these four stars with a reference in Dante's Purgatorio, which says, quote, four stars near seen before, save by their kin of our first parents. Now, you're looking at me like, what is this about? Well, you have this guy named Amerigo Vespucci, Vespucci, V-E-S-P-U-C-C-I. I'm giving my best shot at saying it. He was sailing on the Atlantic, and when he got to the Southern Hemisphere, he congratulated himself that he rediscovered those four stars after so long. What four stars? He's talking about the Southern Cross. And it said he associated these four stars with a reference in Dante's Purgatorio. Anybody heard of Dante before? Good. Anybody heard about Dante's Purgatorio before? Well, I guess it's a poem, I'm not sure. But this is what Dante said. Four stars ne'er seen before save the kin of our first parents. What is he talking about? Is he talking about the first parents being Adam and Eve, that they saw him somehow? I'm not going to linger here because y'all will give me some really strange looks. And I understand why. But then he says, how Dante may have known them is an interesting question. And so when Amerigo was sailing and he saw the four stars when he got to the Southern Hemisphere, he thinks about this something that Dante wrote in this Dante's Purgatorio. And Dante is talking about, we haven't seen these four stars in a long time since our first parents. That's just a riddle. Don't look at me like I'm going to answer it. I'm just saying that's interesting that this Southern Cross is that vivid in the minds of people in the 15th century. There are no named stars in this constellation. They are designated as... Let's see, do I have this in the next frame? Let me see. No, I don't. Well, They're designated, the stars, as Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta. In other words, if a star isn't bright enough, isn't a major enough star to give it a name, they give it a letter of the alphabet. And that's what you see in all the astronomy books. Most stars are not named, and they'll start with the brightest one in a constellation, and they'll call that Alpha, and then Beta, Zeta, Epsilon, and so forth. It's interesting that the crucifixion did not exist until about 519 B.C., and yet the cross was part of the zodiac from the beginning of time. Think about that one. There's no such thing as crucifixion. To my best recollection, then my study of it was around 519 B.C., and yet when God put the message in the stars, which was quite a while before then, the stars were in the form of a cross. Okay, the next one is lupus. Do y'all remember lupus, the victim? The second deacon in Libra is lupus, and it means the wolf, but there are some zodiacs that shows it as a sheep, and it's referring to the slain victim. Now, stay tuned in here, because what we saw in Virgo, remember, Centaurus, is going to link with this one now, the slain victim. The old illustrations resemble a wolf, but it could be any animal. In some ancient drawings, it appears to be a lamb. The main point is that the animal has been killed and has fallen down dead. Lupus was slain by the spear of Centaurus. Here you have lupus. See where the Southern Cross is over here? This is Centaurus, the dual nature, despised one. And we said that this dual nature, when we're looking at Centaurus, had to do with Jesus' dual nature, in the sense that He is 100% deity, 100% humanity, united in one person. And He has this spear going here, this lance, and He has killed lupus, the victim, which always shows it on its back. Have you ever killed anything, any animal, killed a chicken or... This is Country Bible Church. It's all right to talk about that, isn't it? When you kill an animal, usually they're on their back, and that's what this is showing here. Now remember that Centaurus signified Jesus Christ as the despised one who was the God-man. Lupus, listen, do you know who lupus represents? Jesus Christ as the victim. So lupus signifies Jesus Christ as the victim slain by His own act, by volunteering to be the sacrifice. Do you see the significance there? Jesus Christ is the slayer and the slayee, I guess you could say. He is the victim. What that is demonstrating, a phenomenal aspect of God in Jesus Christ loving us enough to be the victim, as one as the one who volunteered. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26 says, "But now once at the consummation of the ages, He has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." He is the victim. He's also the one, the slayer, represented in Centaurus. John chapter 10, verse 17 through 18. "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again." When Jesus died, it wasn't because He bled to death. It wasn't because He just finally could take it no longer. He had the power to breathe out. And this is what happened on the cross. He breathed out His last. And He was able to not only volunteer to die, but also He had the authority to take it up again in the resurrection. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. "He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, He did not open His mouth." Why? Because He volunteered. He chose to be that sacrificial lamb. 1 John 3:16. "We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us." That is lupus in the stars, the victim. The image also depicts the victim being pierced by the lance. Isaiah 53:5. but He was pierced through for our transgressions. John 19:34. But one of the soldiers pierced His side with a spear. Zechariah 12:10. And I, referring to Jesus, will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on Me whom they have pierced. The people looked on Him. And it says the people who pierced Him. How did the people pierce Him? Wasn't it a Roman soldier that pierced Him? Well, the Roman soldier was doing an overt act. But it's the people who rejected Him and whose sins that He was dying for. Those are the ones who pierced Him. So if anybody ever makes a case in anti-Semitic and say they hate the Jews because the Jews killed Jesus Christ. Well, that's not even accurate. It's not even close to being accurate. Technically, it was the Romans, a Roman soldier that killed Jesus Christ, or that put the lance through Him at the end. It's the ones, the Romans are the ones who put Him on the cross and nailed the nails in His hands and feet and pierced Him with the spear. Technically, that's true. But who put Jesus Christ on the cross? I'm looking at Him. And you're looking at Me. We're the ones who put Jesus Christ on the cross. But we didn't force Him there. He voluntarily took that on Himself. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. Remember the statement I made while teaching Centaurus that I would tell you later about who Centaurus, the seed of the woman, was slaying. Do y'all remember that? I said, there was a lance and he's slaying someone. And I'm not going to tell you who it is. I couldn't tell you till we get to the next constellation of Libra and this Lupus being Jesus Christ. There's no stars named in this constellation either. We go to the next constellation now. This is the third and last one in Libra. Oh, here's another one. Another shot of Centaurus killing Lupus, the victim. And now we go to Corona. See it here? Beautiful constellation. It's not all that large, but it's beautiful when you look up in the sky. If you look, it's unusual. There's hardly any stars that even come close, any constellations of what looks like a crown, and yet there you have Corona. It's a very beautiful constellation. Of course, it has a semicircle look that looks like a star, a crown. If Corona was missing, this world would be a sad story indeed, and the story would not be complete without it, because we have, first of all, about the Virgin, and we saw that story. Now we're looking at Libra, the justice and righteousness that God demands. We see the cross. We see the victim. If the story ended there, well, we'd all be unhappy campers, wouldn't we? But it doesn't. In this same constellation set, where you have all this misery here, you have the cross and you have the victim, in that same one you also have the crown. That's what I'm saying. The Jews wanted Jesus to take the crown without the cross. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we do not see Him who has been made for a little while. But we do see Him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. The Hebrew name for Corona is Atara, A-T-A-R-A-H, meaning royal crown. The Greek word for the type of crown that a king would wear is a diadem, the type that is promised to believers who receive crowns at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, what I want you to see is this is when you connect the dots of Corona here. This big star right here, the main one, is called Alpaca, A-L-P-A-C-C-A, and it means the shining one. Matthew chapter 17, verse 2 says, And when He, Jesus, was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as bright as light. This alpaca, the shining one. Because of us, our Lord wore this crown. But it won't be long until he wears this crown. Aren't you happy? Any lesser man would have taken this crown first and avoided this one. But not our Lord Jesus Christ. He stepped out of the glories of heaven, not only to become lower than the angels which he created, but to be a lower creature, man, and even go through the ghastly horrors of the cross. This is a diadema here, type that Jesus Christ is going to wear. And this is the type of crown, Stephanos, that we, some of us, wish it could be all of us. But anytime you have a party of over 100, I don't think you're going to find all of them being worthy to eventually wear the Stephanos. But it's up to you and it's up to me whether we're going to wear this Stephanos, which has great reward and decoration with it. Thomas Kelly wrote this poem. To us thy cross with all its shame, with all its grace be given. Though earth disowns thy lowly name, God honors it in heaven. So if you're going to take on the... Have you ever heard of bearing the cross and taking on your royal family title, your ambassadorship and your priesthood? If you're going to take that on seriously, then you're going to... It's related to what Christ had to do before he received his crown, is the crown of thorns. It doesn't come easy for us to be worthy of the crown that Christ is going to give us at the judgment seat of Christ. We aren't worthy. In fact, we can't do it without his help anyway. But Christ was indeed worthy of his crown. So, here's what we looked at today with regarding Libra. The scales represent the required price paid. That's what you have in Islam and other religions. You don't have any justice. All mankind have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. But for them to be able to go to paradise or to go to heaven or to go stay on earth and be whatever they're inspiring to be is just nullifying their sins, because no one in the other religions, in religions, there is no price that has to be paid. But the Bible says that we have a just and righteous God. He's also a loving God, full of grace and mercy. But the justice, the penalty has to be paid, and that's what the scales are showing. Crux means the cross to be endured, lupus, the slain victim, and then corona, the crown purchased. Has Jesus purchased the crown already? Absolutely. The price for the crown was the cross. And now, it's just a matter of time to where he is going to wear that crown. He hasn't wore the crown yet. He has not been inaugurated yet, but he will soon. That's what's coming, and that's part of our hope, our confidence. Now, the last thing I'm going to show you that has to do with Libra, and we're going to conclude Libra today, is this. This is Satan's biggest lie, and here you see the scales. Now, this is what so many people believe. You have sins and you have works in each part of the scales. And most people think that if the end of your life, if your sins are outnumbered and would be weightier than your works, this is where you're headed. However, there's a lot of them that think, well, if your works outnumber your sins. If they are weightier than your sins, then you see these go down, then you're headed for heaven. And I'm telling you that that is probably the most audacious, ludicrous lie that ever came from the pit of hell, and yet most of the population of the world would sign on to that. You nearly have to automatically assume when you come into contact with people out yonder that this is what they believe. And I'm talking to a large degree of people who profess to be Christians and people who go to church. They still believe this. So you have to assume that. And when you start talking to them and you start asking them questions to find out where they are on the spiritual scale, are they even believers or not, you need to be prepared to deal with this because this is what they're believing. Most people think that there's going to be a judgment day. They don't know that there's at least two judgments left. One, the believers are going to be judged. Actually, they're going to be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. And all unbelievers are going to be judged at the great white throne judgment. Two separate judgments, one for believers, one for unbelievers. Now, that is basic. That's fundamental in Christianity. And yet, how many Christians are even able to say that? There's a very famous, a lady that has a large spiritual following. She's on TV all the time, and I saw her and heard her with my own ears. One of these stadiums. It was filled with people, stadiums, and she said, "Now this is the one that is their teacher that was espousing the Bible to them." And she said that, you know, the Bible says that there is a judgment for believers and a judgment for unbelievers, the great white throne, but I don't know the difference between the two. And I thought, and all these people in the stadium are being taught, and I'm not trying to disparage this person, that's why I didn't give you her name. But if you were in that crowd and you thought that this is the truth, this is what it all is going to boil down to at the end of time, that there's going to be a judgment and somehow your good works and your sins are going to be weighed, you better hope that this one is the one that comes down on. What does that do to grace? What does that do to the cross? What does that do to the angelic conflict? The whole thing is thrown out because people believe this lie. And it has to do with Libra. You can see the scales up there. Well, I don't have time to go into Scorpio, which is where we're going to begin next time. Let me tell you something about Scorpio. It's my favorite one. If I'm going to put up one PowerPoint next time, and you're going to get the whole message in one PowerPoint. That's what Scorpio does. I have seen people, when that is shown to them and explained to them, say that they get chills, they get goosebumps, because they never knew that such precision and precise message in the stars, they didn't know that it was there. When I went to this last Schaefer conference, it wasn't the conference, it was, I remember it was a prayer breakfast we went to. And I was sitting by, there were these round tables and we were eating before we went into the auditorium. And there's one guy that was standing up talking to the other pastors and men that were there. And you know what he was describing to them? The constellation Scorpio and what it is saying. And these guys were just, they were spellbound what he was saying. And I wasn't standing this far from him. And I knew the guy that was telling them about God's message in the stars and Scorpio. And I was so tempted to stand up and say, "Excuse me, we're doing live streaming now. And I'm going to be in Scorpio in a couple of weeks." But that would be stealing his thunder, and that's not what I wanted to do. But what I'm trying to explain to you is already you should be amazed at the precision and preciseness of God's message in the stars, starting with Virgo, now Libra, the price that had to be paid. And when we go into Scorpio, it's a treat. If you miss any of them, if you have your, let me put it this way, if you had a choice to miss any of these constellations being taught, don't let it be this one, because it's just my favorite. Okay, I'd like everyone please to bow your heads and close your eyes. I always end with the gospel message because there may be someone here or there may be someone out on the internet that don't know about what's going to happen after they die, and they're very concerned about it. We all need to be ready to give them the good news. And the good news is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And He went to that cross, which is represented by the constellation Crux. And He died and was buried. And He rose again from the dead. And now He offers eternal life to anyone who will believe Him and Him alone for salvation. Trust in His work and not theirs. And in that moment, they're born again and become a royal family member. And then can progress to where someday maybe even they can wear that very honored and vaulted gift called a crown, the Stephanus. Now, Father, thank You for giving us this time that we can focus on these things and pray that they will motivate us, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Yes, sure.